The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
I don't believe in things like, you know, religious things like souls and all these things.
I'm not asking about religious. If you can't have sympathy for a dead father and husband, do you lack a conscience, a soul, and a heart? That's a simple question. You're a smart woman.
Well, let me respond to you, Sean. I believe that every one of the 70,000 Americans that die each year because of lack of health insurance also
has a
heart.
You're back to health care and not answering my question.
You can't make this up. Would you agree that if someone walks up behind someone and shoots them in the back of the head, is that a good thing? Is that good or that bad? Well, I don't believe in religion. No. Is it good or is it bad? No. See, I'm not religious. I don't have a comment. No. Is it good or is it bad? Why is it? It's kind of like someone saying, what is a woman? Well, you know, I'm not a biologist. So, I mean, this is the slope we're on, is that we're living in a country where, and again, this is not by mistake. I don't believe this is by mistake that we have come to a place in this country where if I ask you, is it good or bad that someone can walk up behind you? They don't know you personally. You haven't done anything personally to them specifically. Like, your insurance company isn't even the company that is securing him. Like, he doesn't have a policy with your company. You're just somebody and you represent something. Would you say, John in Wildwood, let me ask you, would you say that's a bad thing?
This is kind of a silly. That's so silly. It's just.
But is it bad? Is it bad, John, that somebody can walk up behind you and shoot you in the head? I mean, like, is that okay?
Yeah. I would say that's not okay. And I wouldn't need a biologist to tell me that I'm dead.
That's a good one, John. Thank you so much, John. And I agree with you about trade schools. I'm going to go over here to Charlie real quick. Charlie in Philadelphia, can I ask you, sir, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, is it okay for someone to walk up behind you and shoot you in the head? Is that good or bad?
Sure, why not? Who cares? You know what I mean?
Really, John? I mean, really, Charlie, you okay with someone walking up behind you?
No, absolutely not.
Do you have to be a biologist to know that?
You don't even have to be a biologist to answer that question. I mean, come on. I mean, you got to be a moron to say you can't answer that question. I mean, it's just right and wrong. I mean, you don't have to be a Franciscan friar or something to think it's wrong. You know what I mean? I think religion does have something to do with it because, I mean, you go to church on Palm Sunday and a church 10, 15 years ago was overflowing. There's 15 people there. I mean, it's ridiculous how bad things have gotten.
Well, remember when Obama got in office and he declared, like, within the first couple of days of him being in office, America is no longer a Christian nation.
I remember that, and I remember him going over and kissing the ground before Prince Fayyad or something in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, bowing down so far he could have kissed the ground.
I cursed him for at that time for saying that, but he was right. And he also said another thing that sticks in my mind, that we had to break America of its protein addiction. And look at what the prices of meat and stuff are.
No, look at that. I remember that, right? Like you fat Americans
he's eating shrimp and crab and everything. But
yes.
What I thought about is I keep hearing about this gubernatorial mansion break and the fire and all the money it's going to cost and millions of dollars and all. And you can't walk down my either side of my street in the backyards without setting off a motion alarm at night.
That is
true.
What,
$15 for a motion alarm? I mean, what planet did I land on where you can
and
have
how hard of a sleeper
of security? You don't have a $15 motion alarm on that wall. You could break in a window after climbing through a fence and every other thing.
Yeah.
Hey, it's just,
Charlie,
there's something going on here that we don't realize. You know,
Charlie,
what I mean?
Like, I agree. Thank you so much for calling in, Charlie. I agree with you 100%. And what kind of sound sleeper Right? I mean, I don't know anything about what happened. I'm not even, you know, not really paying attention. I know it, but I haven't really delved into it. But I'm looking at all this fire and I'm like, wow, he was really asleep. He must have really been tired. He must have really had a hard day of work. Like, he was out of it. Bill in Philadelphia, what's up?
Oh, hello. Yes, I just want to make a comment on your previous conversation about the crazy guy who killed the insurance person and how Hannity was asking the lady if she had no heart. I think that it's hard for people to get past. First of all, I agree with Hannity's perspective and that perspective altogether. But I think that when people observe that sort of a thing, they put their own lives, feelings of like they have no control over all this stuff that happens to them, like the medical bills and just like all this Democrat, Republican fighting back and forth. It's getting so stressful that people see something like that happen and their first reaction is to say, oh, well, he deserved it.
Yeah.
He didn't really deserve it, but
no.
The system itself deserves it because we have no control over it.
And we have no control over it. You know, Sean Farish in the previous hours, he talked about this a lot, that if you have laws and no one enforces the laws, well, now the laws really don't matter to anyone, right? And now truth is what I deem it to be. Thank you so much for calling, Bill. And that's what I wanted to kind of pivot to, right? And I started with this woman. I guess she would declare herself a woman. Who knows? I'm not a biologist. But Taylor Lorenz, you know, she was saying, you know, I mean, and y'all know I am no friend of Sean Hannity, okay?
You know, when he sent me a Hannity, I was very surprised that this is the angle that we went with here.
Okay, first of all.
Is this the first time you've taken Hannity's side since all that?
First of all, exactly. Let me just go on the record, that lying snake. Jackass is what he is. Listen, I got no love for Sean Hannity, but the question
Breaking news, Kathy Barnett agrees with Sean Hannity.
But the question is still a very valid question. Can we say that this is wrong? That we shouldn't be shooting people in the back of the head? And when the response is, well, I'm not religious. You know, and it made me think of our founding father who said, John Adams, and I said it all the time. If you were ever in one of those meetings or meet and greets with me, you've heard me say it so many times because I just enjoyed reading his letters to his wife, Abigail. But he said our Constitution means the rule of law for our land, right? These are the laws we've agreed will, you know, that we will abide by. Without the Constitution, there is no America. Let me just put that out there. Without the Constitution, there is no America. We're just running around here wild, right? Without it. But we've agreed that these will be the laws of the land that we will submit ourselves to. And that it applies to the rich as well as to the poor, right? To the black as well as to the white. That this is who we are. These are our beliefs, our values, and we will abide by that. Well, John Adams said, our Constitution, these rule of laws, are only made for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for any other kind. Now, what does he mean by moral and religion? He doesn't mean if you're a Baptist versus a Catholic or a Hindu versus a Muslim. No, it's not about what church you go to. Moral simply means knowing the difference between right and wrong. So John Adams said, our Constitution, our values, our way of life, our systems are only made for people who understand there is a difference between right and wrong. And he said religion, because where do you get your sense of right and wrong if not from religion? So when someone says, I'm not religious, you now need to say, okay, well, this person is capable of anything. There is no sense of right and wrong or some moral code that we can all walk into a room and say, okay, well, this woman's not going to shoot me in the back of the head because it's morally wrong. No, she's just fluid, right? So maybe today she feels like a nut, but tomorrow maybe not. Well, you can't operate the greatest nation that has ever existed off of that flimsy kind of moral code. Well, what's right for me may not be right for you, right? But our founding fathers said our country is only made for country constitutions, only made for people who understand there is a difference between right and wrong, that there is a right and that there is a wrong way of doing things, right? That there is an up, there is a down, there is a boy, there is a girl, and one cannot be the other just because it's true to you. No, you can't operate that way. And, you know, and so when you have someone, leaders say, you know, I don't believe in a soul because I'm not religious. Well, again, it shows her greater ignorance, because what do we mean by soul? That has nothing to do with religion. Soul simply means a mind. Does she have a mind? It means a will. Does she have willpower? There's so many books out there about your willpower. Does she have emotions? Mind, emotions, will, right? That's what you mean. Like, what is the soul of America? Because we're battling right now for the mind, for the emotions, and for the will, what you end up doing. We're in a battle for that right now. That's what we mean by soul. We need to take some time to actually read a book and find out what these words mean. It's not religion. Do you have a mind? Do you have emotions? Are your emotions relegated, or are your emotions informed by, you know, I don't know, 5 hours of scrolling on TikTok and playing 10 hours of Candy Crush? What kind of are you controlled, or are you just out here wilding out? Christian, I see you. I'm so sorry. I will get you on the other side if you want to hang on. I'm so sorry about that. But I just want, like, we need to start reading books again, people. We need to start thinking again. We need to start talking about heavy topics and not just what is the weather today. But we need people with a backbone, because this is very intentional, this dumbing down of our country. I'll see you on the other side. Trouble. Yes, I'm here for it. Hey, Dan, you want to read off some of those YouTube comments?
Yeah, so we brought listeners a little bit behind the scenes there with a situation that evolved between you and Sean Hannity in the past. And Mangle Mush was kind enough to say, Mangle's a regular on our YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHT, always streaming live there. Please go like, subscribe, click the bell for notifications. Mangle writes, Sean Hannity has been dead to me after what he did to you, Kathy.
Yes!
Kind of pushed you over. He could have pushed you over the wall, but he let those lies be told on his airtime about you with no chance of rebuttal. Instead, he tore you off that wall.
Yes, he did. He's a jackass. We don't like him. What was the next one?
There's so many. We can probably do this.
There's so many. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the love.
Joe says Hannity should leave Fox, begin his own Krav Maga show. I think that's how you pronounce that, the martial art. Jimmy says to Joe, Hannity's time slot should instead be given to Lawrence Jones if he does that Krav Maga show. And that's like the programming for Fox now. Mangle goes, Hannity should just take his money and go away forever. Tony says, amen to that, Mangle. He's a horrible interviewer. Can't show up to let the guests fully respond.
Woo, yes, I'm here for all this trouble, y'all. I'm here for all of it. All of it. I'll take the heat. I don't care. And I'm so grateful to all of you for remembering what they did. But anyway, I want to now move on to, I have a caller. Christian, you're on the line?
Actually, it's Tabitha.
Oh, hello, young lady. How can I help you?
So I want to call in and talk about propaganda and how it's a big problem with the left.
Okay.
Because recently I finished reading Animal Farm, and the book was about propaganda and how these bad characters turn this farm into a really dangerous place for these animals.
Yes, I read that book to my kids. I homeschooled my kids, and I read that book to them when they were really little. Animal Farm, all of y'all should read it. So what are you learning? Sum it up for me.
So in the book, I was learning about how dangerous propaganda can really be. And in the book, they use propaganda to make these characters turn on each other.
Yes, they did. They did. And how old are you?
I'm 13.
I love it. And your daddy has you reading Animal Farm.
Yep.
I love that. Is your dad still there? Can you pass the phone over to him? No.
It's no, okay. you can't pass the phone to your dad. Yeah. Well, thank you.
I'm sorry. I couldn't really hear. My dad is right next to me.
Let me talk to your dad. Dan wants to talk to your dad.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
Hey there.
Christian, it's Dan from 12th and WPHT. Awesome thing. Looks like you're doing a great thing with your 13-year-old daughter. Why Animal Farm? How'd that come about?
So that is a profoundly underutilized tool for parents. What parents have to realize is that they are competing with tens of thousands of voices every day from all different directions. And, you know, you're only one or two people kind of working on this. And we don't have the luxury of being the fun uncle, fun aunt, you know, the grandparent that lets the kids get away with everything. You got to be the person that says, nope, this is what you're going to do. So teaching my kids how to recognize propaganda is vital, because if I don't teach them, someone else is going to get
and
make those decisions for them.
How about that? Someone is always teaching your children. So either you're going to be the main educator or someone else is going to be. Christian, I don't know. Do we have like an award, like for Father of the Year award, right? And applause?
Well, I can hear Pennsylvania applauding me every day.
Yes. For the future.
She grows up being able to think for herself, plenty of rewards.
I know.
We
praise the Lord.
We are very careful not to tell her what to think. We are concerned about teaching her how to think, because I won't always be there to be that compass for her. She's going to have to do that. She's doing great.
Aww.
She's recognizing it. She's got it unlocked.
I love it. Take your bow, Daddy. Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for calling in, Christian. Hey, if there's any other fathers who want to take a spin around the arena and get your applause, I am here for it all day long. We need more men being men. We need more testosterone. We need women to recognize that we have a gap in this nation. And I believe if fathers and husbands actually stood up and took their role, our nation would be very different right now. And I know as women, we got to recognize that and give them that space to do just that. But getting serious for a moment, I mean, soul, emotions, will. This is my soul. You can take the music down. This is the soul. And we are in a battle for the soul of this country. And by the soul, I mean we are in a battle for the mind, for the emotions. Because look at, I mean, you know, I was bullied unmercifully when I was a young kid. They were horrible. I mean, I was poor. I didn't have the right clothes. I didn't have the right hair. I didn't come from the right family. It was horrible. And children are the worst. I do not believe kids are all like, oh, so sweet and so precious. No, some of them are horrible, right? And I was bullied unmercifully. But let me tell you what I never thought to do. Take a knife to a school event and stab someone, right? I had some regulation over my emotions, right? It wasn't justifiable. And I knew that although I could not stand these people, that they were horrible to me, it never crossed my mind to get a gun and to walk in after I graduate and just start shooting people. It never crossed my mind to do that. And for most of us, even if it crossed our mind, we had the good sense to be, our emotions were regulated, right? We weren't just wilding out here. This is what we're in a battle for. We're in a battle for the mind, for the emotions, and for the will of this country. But let me also just say, and I don't know, you know, guys, call in. I want to hear what you have to say about this. But I believe that maybe there was a time when the Democrat Party was looking out for the little man. Maybe. Now, I'm black. I'm from the deep South. I have the blood of slaves in my veins. I do not agree that Democrats were looking out for our benefit. But I'm going to just give some of y'all the benefit of the doubt that, you know, that Democrats at some point, John F. Kennedy and the rest of them, that they were looking out for the welfare of the people, right? Of their people, right? That is no longer the Democrat Party. I believe the new mission statement of the Democrat Party, that their new goal is to demoralize our nation, is to dehumanize our people, is to bring great degradation. Because again, remember what John Adams said, that our nation, our Constitution is made only for a moral people who know the difference between right and wrong. So if you want to undo the country, yes, you can have World War III and over here in Ukraine and over here doing all these other things. But let's just focus on within, not the enemy from without, but let's look at the enemy from within. Right. If you want to undo the nation, what did John Adams say? Do the opposite of what John Adams said. He said our Constitution is made only for a moral people, people who understand the difference between right and wrong. So what's the opposite of that? People who don't know the difference between right and wrong. People who think that they can just, that their truth is their truth. And then you can have your truth. She can have her truth. He can have his truth. That a boy can be a girl. A man should take a shower with a woman. And that all is well. Right. Like everybody just gets to make it up as they want. That's the opposite of what our founding fathers said. And who has been the champion of this demoralization, this dehumanization, this degradation of our nation, if not the Democrat Party? I'm not making this up. I'm not. No, I don't like Democrat, the party. Now, again, all of my family members are Democrats other than my immediate family, like my niece and nephew. They're too little. But my brother is not a Democrat. My husband, I would never have married him had he been a Democrat. So we're not Democrats. But outside of my immediate family, everyone is a Democrat and they're good people, lovely people. I love them. We eat. We have fun. We wrestle with these concepts and then we go eat. Right. We're not going to break up over this, but we're all very open to share our opinions about it. So I'm not talking about the people. I think the people are just, you know, just manipulated. But the hands, the power, those who are in charge of the political system, this is the Democrat Party, and not the people specifically, but those who are in charge. I believe their new mandate, that their mission statement, that their job, their sole focus, not all of them, but the majority of them, is to bring in the opposite of morals, of understanding right from wrong, right? They are the ones who said little girls should cut off their breasts, that little boys should be chemically castrated, that you can be something other than your DNA. They're the ones who are like having little boys take showers with little girls and they're telling you to stand there, shut up, sit down, be quiet, or you a homophobe, you are this phobic, you're that kind of bad, you're a racist. They're the ones who flung open our borders, right? Now, I'm not going to leave Republicans out of this tongue lashing either, because Democrats cannot do half the stuff they've been doing if Republicans weren't complicit. I'm not talking about the people. I'm a Republican. I'm not talking about the people. I'm not talking about you and I. But there's a portion who have their hands fixed on the political systems in both party. We tend to call them uniparty. They're the ones who are controlling this whole narrative. And they have a very specific mindset. Democrats, their new job is to demoralize our nation. Republican, their job is to be gatekeepers and make sure no one like me get a chance to tap that down. I'm you, Pennsylvania. That wasn't just a campaign slogan. I am you. You are listening to Kathy Barnett. I am sitting in for the great and my double good girlfriend, Dawn Stensland, on the Dawn Stensland Show. Guys, call in. I would love to bring you into this conversation that I'm having. I'm loving the conversation out there on YouTube. Thank you guys so much for listening to that. Go out there to YouTube, find us out there and like us. So let me just finish picking up where I was. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this book, Maximum Feasible Misunderstanding. Maximum Feasible Misunderstanding. And this book was written by Daniel Morninghan. Now, Daniel Morninghan, he worked with John F. Kennedy, with Lyndon B. Johnson, with Nixon. He worked under three different Democrat and Republican, but he worked under three different presidential administrations. He was a senator. He was a Harvard professor. And right after Lyndon B. Johnson left office, he wrote this book kind of giving his idea, his feedback on the legitimacy of all of these programs, and specifically the programs around urban development, black people, right? Lyndon B. Johnson with his Great Society idea, we're going to save black folks. And so he kind of wrote all of this up, a very astute individual. If you're looking at YouTube, you can see the book is so old. I have it all taped up, but I'm rereading it. I read it years ago. I'm rereading it now because it's like reading the daily news today. You know, and the gist of all of this is that, you know, under LBJ, initially, the thought was we're going to create these community action centers, and they're going to be community action in the war on poverty. So the goal was we're going to go into the community. We're going to find people within the community to tell us what the problems are. We're going to empower the people in the community, and we're going to give them the tools and the resources they need to fix their community. They know what the problems are in the community. So we're going to turn to them, and they're going to tell us, the politicians, the bureaucrats, what the problems are. And then we're going to be able to solve it. Well, politicians got wind of this, and they was like, oh, no. See, we don't want to empower the community because these people will rise up and they could turn that power against us, and they can make themselves ungovernable. And so we don't want to do that. So instead, we're going to use them to keep us in power. And as you know, from the 1960, 1968 to today, well over 60 years, black people have been very loyal to the Democrat Party like no one else has. The black community keeps throwing money at it, and it keeps failing. The problem gets worse, right? Breaking up the family, kick the father out of the home, welfare system, the government becomes your baby daddy. You know, the government pays for the cheese, pays for the rent, pays for the clothes, pays for the phone. So what do you need a man for, right? Pays for everything. But the problem just keeps getting worse. Democrats walk into black communities saying, this time it's going to be different. Get me in. Give me more money. I will make sure it changes, but it doesn't. Okay, so that's how it used to be. So let's do the opposite, because where are we right now? It is the Democrat Party who has now done the very thing they didn't want to do. Remember, I said in the last segment that the Democrat Party today is not the Democrat Party of yesteryears. Now, I didn't agree with the Democrat Party of LBJ and the rest of them, but that party is not this party today. That party did not want to influence and to give influence to community activists, but the party today do. Why? Because they want people to be ungovernable. You have these NGOs flowing millions and millions of dollars into Black Lives Matter, into Antifa. And what are they doing if not making themselves ungovernable? Now, back in the 60s, here's the book. You can read it for yourself. They recognize, well, we don't want to give the people in the community any power because they may rise up and make themselves ungovernable. Today, because this isn't the same party, they're doing the very opposite. They're empowering people in the community because they are inscripting them into the war on everything that is moral, everything that is right. They can't do it alone, so they give them cover with the media. They give them lawyers. The NGOs give them money. Look at the college riots that were happening in support of Hamas, and everyone had color coded T-shirts and tents. That takes a lot of money, a lot of coordination that, as Elon Musk and Doge has uncovered, was being paid for by our tax dollars going to these people. $33 million Open Society sending to Black Lives Matter and other organizations. And so this is what I'm talking about. I have Big Al on the phone. Hey, Big Al.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, what's up?
Well, you're a breath of fresh air. Hey, listen, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Trump just fired a woman from Homeland Security. Okay.
Yes.
Mayorkas put her on leave, paid leave. She celebrated October 7th when it happened in reference to over there in Israel. She's also had ties with the PLO, and he put her on paid leave instead of firing her immediately.
Wow.
You know, what kind of a joke? And we wonder why our tax dollars are up, because all these little things add up to money. And I think it's just so disgraceful and such a joke of how the Biden administration was destroying our country. And I just can't believe that these people are going to continue to vote Democratic. You know, they're so, I guess, uneducated, or they just don't know what they're voting for. You know, I mean, what Trump is, thank God Trump got elected, because I can't even fathom what this country would be like.
Like, we dodged a real bullet. And I mean, again, it's only because of the grace of God, but also because of this little radical group of conservatives who just would not shut up and bow down, who keep fighting when people come and say, you got to take the jab, we got to shut down schools, we got to shut down businesses. A man is a woman can be a man, and they should fight and compete and take showers and open borders. And the ones who were saying no the loudest were people like you and myself. And so no one is going to give us our roses on that, so I'm giving it to us right now, that we saved this country just long enough, just long enough. Because I mean, because if you go back to 2020, remember, I mean, Democrat, there was a lot of Democrats and Republicans who are not conservatives who were willing and waiting to just hand over the whole kit and caboodle to the government, to Fauci, and just do as they're told.
Oh, that's another guy that should be in jail. Now, I'm waiting for accountability. But you know what? Yeah. I was so surprised that what the UK did, finally defining a woman. There's two genders, male and female.
Go figure.
Now, me and my wife, a couple days ago, me and my wife were riding in the car, and I said, you know, look up the gender thing. And she said, there's a list here of 72 different genders.
Yeah.
And she started reading them, and I was laughing because a lot of them were just emotional things. And one of them was called the witch gender. And that is described as someone who doesn't know which gender they belong to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, how stupid is this stuff? I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
But again, it goes back to what I'm saying. We are in a battle for the mind, emotions, and will. Will means the manifestation of what you're thinking, right? So what we see people doing, your actions. We are literally in a battle for all of those things. And this is not by surprise, or like they didn't know it was going to happen. This is very intentional, this moment we're living through. So now I saw that yesterday the UK came out, as Big Al just said, and have now declared there are only two genders. And although people are applauding, I'm like, but what about the countless little girls who were told they could be a boy if you just cut off your breast and remove your uterus? Oops. Is that what we're saying to them now? What about the little boys at 11 who were chemically castrated, which is forever? What do we say to them now? Oops, sorry.
Yeah, which is a joke, because in some schools you could be a cat because they put litter boxes in the bathrooms.
That is happening. That is literally happening. That is true. That is a real thing. Big Al, thank you so much for calling.
Love you.
Hey, Ted, stay on, and I'll pick you up on the other side of this break, okay? I agree. We got to start reading books. Books, people. Go read a book. This is Kathy Burnett filling in for Don Stensland, and I have Ted on the line. Hey, Ted, what's up?
Hey, Kathy. You know what? I could not agree with you more about this need to read books to educate ourselves, because the media, well, not everyone, clearly, but a lot of the media has been co-opted by the same people who are running these NGOs.
Yep.
There was an excellent book that I would recommend to yourself and to readers who are interested in finding out who may really be pulling the strings.
Okay.
The book's entitled Arabella, The Dark Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming in America.
Say it again. Say it again.
Arabella, the dark money network of leftist billionaires secretly transforming America.
Yep.
The book is written. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. General Flynn, I was at his office in down in Florida, I believe it is, and he didn't show me the book, but he showed me this whole kind of web of Arabella being in the center and like this web of money going out to all of these different organizations and how it impacts the culture.
Well, Kathy, I'll share this with you. And this is something you can check. But Dawn had mentioned right before she went to Sicily on her show that a good investigative journalist in the area would pick up on this story. The gentleman that runs Arabella lives right in our backyard in Gladwin, Pennsylvania.
Ooh,
you can go to the website, get his name. It's amazing that no one has ever, no one
what
has ever interviewed
name?
The guy. Oh, his name is Himesh Bhise, Bhise.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. But I agree. Yeah. Reading books is so important. Yes.
But Kathy, this is I think this really, we always talk about the head of the snake, this Arabella organization is behind a lot of what we see going on.
Yeah, it'd be really, thank you. Thank you so much, Ted, for calling in. Yeah, it'd be really good, right? I mean, yes, I want some, I don't know if this is politically correct to say, but I'm looking for some revenge. I don't, I'm trying to tap down any kind of, feelings I may have against Pam Bondi, but I'm like, girl, get it together. How many times has she been on Fox News already? Like, okay, I get it. I'm over it. Like, stop telling me what you gonna do and just start doing it, right? Like, Ratchet Crockett, what's her name? Jasmine Crockett, right? Just ratchet. And again, this is by design. They get some of the most big mouth, disgusting, ratchet individuals, and they put them out there as leaders of our hallowed institutions. And what are they really doing? They're degrading us. They're degrading institutions. Us allowing ourselves to be governed by the Constitution, it is it's on a volunteer basis. Like, we have agreed as people to say, okay, we will voluntarily relinquish, because remember what our founding fathers, how they opened up the Declaration of Independence, that we believe that there is a God and that he has given us certain inalienable rights. So we are free people, but we are going to come together and make a decision to relinquish some of those freedoms so that we can all cohabitate together. And we call it the Constitution. These are our guardrails. These are the rules of the road that we're going to abide by. But when you have one side, I mean, good God Almighty, Democrats got in office with Biden, and I mean, the next day you had January Sixers faces on everything. They had their social security numbers. They were but busting down doors, dragging out Granny, who was just praying. A good friend, Brandon Straka, he didn't even enter the building, but they had this man, they had footage of him looking like he was going to go in. He didn't go in, but he looked like he was going to go in, and literally have him as marked as a terrorist. Democrats were not playing. They threw Peter Navarro in prison. They threw Steve Bannon in prison. And what are we doing? What are we doing, Crockett? I mean, she says we need to get violent. People start throwing Molotov cocktails into Tesla, and there's no dots we can connect with this. We have to, if you want to stop the degradation of morality in our country, we need to start holding people's feet to the fire. 1, 2, parents, start parenting your children. 3, everybody, go pick up a book and read it. Blessings. See y'all next time. This is Kathy Barnett filling in for my girl, Dawn Stensland. She is amazing and very grateful to have the opportunity to come and speak with all of you. Find me over on YouTube right now. Go find me on YouTube and hit that subscribe button.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.